Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. Series Fest 2021 wraps this weekend with a record number of TV series pilots getting a virtual showcase there. Over the next hour, you'll hear winners of Series Fest annual pilot competition assembled for a unique roundtable from all over the world. Those participants join me next. Also ahead, another breakthrough for Native American scripted television, ESPN keeps Wimbledon tennis, and our classic trivia question. Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum, simulcasting live from New York on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and TuneIn Radio, and present on Amazon Music, Verbal, the iHeartRadio Podcast Network, and Apple Podcasts. This just in, tomorrow will be televised. Brought to you by Audible.com, the leading provider of spoken audio entertainment information that will transform the way you hear the world. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a free book or two when you sign up for a 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/televised. More details later in the program. And on this Friday afternoon, we are delighted to have you with us for a very unique hour of the program all about TV's current and future. You are about to hear six people, all of whom are winners of the annual Series Fest Independent Pilot Competition. We have gathered them together all at the same time from all over the world. Trust me, I think it's one of the most global events we have ever done in the 14 years we have done this program. We're delighted to have you with us. We're coming away from New York, where earlier today we had the remnants of Tropical Storm Elsa pass us by at like 30 miles an hour, but that all got done by 10 o'clock in the morning. Right now it is gorgeous, 81 degrees, at the top of the hour. And we invite you during this roundtable to give us a call to be part of the program. If you want to interact with any of our guests, make the call using this number, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The number is good anywhere you are catching us across the country or around the globe here on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, TuneIn Radio. We've also got a chat room open in business for you. It's SimonApple04 by name. You'll find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. And don't forget, you can also connect others while the promo is on by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon, your Blog Talk, Spreaker, TuneIn screen. Follow the instructions. Other people will be live with you. Our Series Fest 2021 winners will join us live from all over the place after these news notes. The Native American scripted series movement continues on an upward direction this afternoon, with Peacock giving new hit comedy Rutherford Falls a second season, and FX unleashing Reservation Dogs next month. AMC Networks is moving ahead with Dark Winds, the saga of Navajo police officers in the 1970s out to solve a double murder. Robert Redford, George R. R. Martin, and Native Graham Rowland will be among the executive producers, with Smoke Signals director Chris Iyer helming the first episode. He'll also be an executive producer. Plans called for Dark Winds to be filmed in New Mexico and a rare happenstance filmed in and near actual Navajo reservation locations. Six episodes will be produced to run next year on AMC and AMC+. You can now expect ESPN to be the place for championship tennis action at Wimbledon through 2035. ESPN extended its agreement to present the England-based event by 12 years, starting in 2024. ESPN Plus will expand its courtside coverage on the deal, with ABC offering some first weekend matches live beginning next summer. Now a trio of quickies, Lovecraft Country and Underground creator Misha Green's new Apple Plus multi-year program development deal. Season 2 of Netflix blockbuster The Witcher will begin December 17th, earlier than anticipated. And Sex and the City sequel series And Just Like That has launched filming here in New York City. 10 episodes will play next year on HBO Max. And that is news notes for today. And now it's time for you and all of us to meet the pilot winners of this year's Series Fest 2021 competition. And we're going to introduce them by category. First up, joining us live from Sydney, Australia, where it's already Saturday, the winner of the comedy competition for her pilot privilege, Simone Lamartina. Simone, great to have you with us.
Thanks so much. It's great to be here.
Next, from Los Angeles, the winner of the comedy, the winner of the drama competition from Hello from Taiwan. Pleasure to have with us. Let me see if I just get fine. There we go. Tiffany Francis. Tiffany, welcome aboard.
Hello. Thank you so much. I'm so excited to be here.
And then joining us live from Jerusalem in Israel, the winner of the unscripted competition for Freedom from Sanctuary, Talia Finkel. Talia, shalom from Israel.
Hello. Hi from Jerusalem. Thanks for having me.
And then joining us live from Indianapolis, where they are joining us from a film festival competition that's going on through the weekend, we have the people behind late night winner River City, Jai Michael, and R.C. Nelson. Let's see here. Let's get them on. First, Jai, we'll go with you first. Let's see. And 694, hang on for a second. And Jai, you should be aboard. And KC, how you doing?
Hey, how's it going? Hey, thanks for having us. We're really excited to be here. This is awesome.
Absolutely. And finally, from Mountain View, California, we have the winner of the Impact Award, the special award given to a very unique pilot by Level Forward, the production company. The pilot is called Parked in America, and the winner is Kayla Yumi Lewis. Kayla, welcome in.
Me.
And Kayla,
oh,
is there.
Hi.
Welcome in.
Yes, sorry. Hi. Thank you so much for having me. I started speaking before I was unmuted.
All right. Well, no problem. I think we have everybody aboard, so let's get right to it. And Simone, we'll start with you. How did privilege come about?
Yes, so privilege is based on my experiences of going to law school, and I started writing it probably my last year, and once COVID hit, me and my friend, we sat down, we were spending a lot of time writing, we'd done a lot of sketch comedy together, and so we just decided to attempt writing a TV show, and then it was sort of it gradually grew from there. Like, I took it to a director that I knew, and then he brought another executive producer on board, and it was one of those things that just started out small but ended up with, like, quite a big crew. And, yeah, we ended up filming a whole pilot.
Was the paper chase or legal films, law films like that, set in law school, set in the legal profession, were they an inspiration to make Privileged?
Yes and no. Like, I think because I had quite a unique experience of being at law school, because I was there but I wanted to be in film. So I think I sort of had this different take on law school to what I'd seen done on TV before. So, for me, it was quite a bizarre experience. And I was kind of looking at the people that I was spending a lot of time with, and myself included, and thinking that we were really funny for taking ourselves so seriously. So I guess in a way it was like almost a reaction against other law school shows and or law series that I've seen where it is just drama.
Tiffany, let's go to you. Speaking of drama, how did Hello from Taiwan happen?
Yeah, it was actually based off of one of my earliest childhood memories when both of my sisters came back from Taiwan after being there for a year with my dad, and I was about 4 or 5, and, you know, your memories are sort of still forming at that point. And I also remember them as my sisters, you know, before they had left, but when they came back, I kind of was like, who are you guys again? And so it was just kind of based off of that initial, you know, part of, like, when my family was a little bit divided and trying to figure out what was going on. And, yeah, just trying to explore, you know, my family's history a little bit, and trying to get to know my parents, honestly, when I was a lot younger, and how they kind of navigated what divorce sort of meant at first for them.
Mm-hmm. Talia, your pilot, Freedom from Sanctuary, what inspired that?
So it's not a pilot. It's actually a web series that was made for the National Israeli TV. And it's inspired by my love to animals and to people. So it's like, and about the food industry, which I don't like, the live food industry. So I'm vegan. So, like, all of this together inspired the series.
How long did it take to make it? And then did you run across any issues from either government authorities or authorities in the food industry or in the animal preservation industry to make this?
So it took me like 2 years to make it, but I was documenting the people of the Freedom Farm Sanctuary from before it was built. So since it was an idea, and it was a super exciting idea, and I thought at the beginning to make a full documentary about it, and then I decided to start with a series and to try to get the money for the documentary afterwards, which I'm doing now. And these animals are tossed out from the food industry because they can't get fed fast enough, or like, so the farmer cannot, like, make money on them. So they just throw them to the garbage. And the people of the farm, they rescue them, and they grow them. And like we have in the farm like a cow which is like 8 years old, which are usually are being killed when they are 4 years old. So they don't have any problems with the industry because it's like the industry doesn't need these animals. But they are an amazing animal, so you can see it in the series.
Giant RC, I understand the River City is sort of like the Walking Dead entry in all these winners. Why did you put this together, and why was it entered in the late night category?
Yeah, so, well, first off, I am from a small town in Missouri outside of St. Louis. There's not many people in the entertainment industry out here, and I remember my dad's friend had started writing a script, and I found out about this, and I was just like, he's doing what? He's writing a script? That's crazy. Like, no one just sits around in Missouri writing scripts. It's very rare. But I was intrigued, and I was like, you know what? I'm going to try this. It seems like something that would be fun. And so, a good creative outlet. And so started writing something. I felt like fiction would probably be the best for me, just as far as, it's kind of like writing with cheat codes. You have more ingredients to cook with, so to speak. So started writing it, wrote a script, took it to RC. RC basically pitched to him, and he was intrigued as well, and here we are today.
Yeah, it was pretty awesome. We came together, we built all the characters and designed the world, and we wanted to tell this story to really, have fun with it and do kind of character-based narrative and what would happen if you wound up in this strange, you know, town that you've never seen before in the middle of nowhere and they already know your name and all that kind of stuff. So it's been a blast to make.
Just to follow up, were any of the characters, at least the main characters, based on people you knew in small town growing up?
No, I mean, the main character, Edwin, he's kind of like the Jerry Seinfeld of the group. He does meet a group of underdogs that he befriends. But there are definitely some characters, some side characters that we kind of loosely base them around, but no one in particular, you know, as far as like this is them in the flesh verbatim. So, yeah, I mean, they were just kind of loosely kind of developed around a couple people in the town.
Mm-hmm. Kayla, among the winners, you're the one that a production company picked rather than being put in a category and a jury picking the award. Talk about Parks in America. Was that inspired by what you dealt with growing up? How'd you come to put it together?
Yeah, so Parks in America I made at NYU in my senior year as our senior thesis project. So NYU, they pick two pilots every year to greenlight and to produce or to just, like, throw money at, I guess, and, like, let us, you know, kind of do what we will with the project. And so we were lucky enough to get chosen after I had written the script in my junior year. And so it was very much based on an experience or just a lot of experiences that I had had at a Catholic high school, being one of, you know, few Asian students there. And also my main character, Jamie, she goes through this major, like, family trauma that she feels responsible for and really guilty about. And I had a similar experience that I had faced just like months before I wrote the script. So it was very much, you know, informing the way that I wrote about mental health and young people and wanting to respect every, you know, young people and their stories. So, yeah, that's kind of how it came about.
And when you use the word part in America as your title, what does that refer to?
Yeah, I mean, at first it was just kind of a pun because Jamie's last name is Park. it kind of came to, you know, that. But it also refers to the fact that she's only here for a short time. So she's trying to make the best of when she's parked here and trying to figure out who she is when she's away from the people that, you know, have informed her life thus far. So, yeah.
You are hearing all of the SiriusXM 2021 pilot competition winners. They're joining us live from all over the place, from Sydney, Australia, Los Angeles, Jerusalem, Israel, Indianapolis, Mountain View, California, and they're all with us live this half hour, actually for the full hour, right here this Friday on Tomorrow Be Televised. Tom Haber with you live from New York, 81 degrees at the top of the hour. Elsa is far out to sea, as we know, and looking forward to a great weekend. We're glad that you're with us wherever you are, and wherever you are, we want you in the conversation. So give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use the chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Three more episodes of our programming coming your way next week, and we kick it off with a look, or I should say a hearing, about the first ever video podcast channel. It's now running on Roku and other smart TV devices. It's called Pod TV. We meet the person who founded the venture and serves as the chief executive, Jeff White. And then we're going to showcase the current executive producers of one of the longest-running crime investigation shows on television. It's Cold Justice. It was put together by Dick Wolf of Law & Order, SVU, et cetera, fame. It first ran on TNT. It's now running on Oxygen. And tomorrow night, the sixth season of Cold Justice will begin. You'll hear on Monday from the current executive producers, Ashley Gray Bostel and Scott Pax. That's all coming up Monday, first of three episodes next week at our regular time, 3 p.m. Eastern Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Be Televised. Tomorrow, I'm going back to you. What was the toughest thing about making Privilege?
Definitely the budgetary constraints we had, and also the fact that we were filming in the middle of a pandemic. So, those were just two huge challenges. We got super lucky in terms of being in Australia, and we didn't have many cases, so there was like a brief sort of week or 2 week period where we had opened up, and so we were able to film. But trying to, you know, be on top of everybody wearing masks on set and stopping people from going to hotspots, that kind of thing was definitely a challenge. But aside from that, just making something for pretty much no money is hard, I have learned.
Is SiriusXM, by the way, the first time that you've entered this pilot in an American competition as opposed to in Australia or other parts of the world?
Yeah, it's actually the first time we've entered it anywhere. So that was the first time it's been screened. We haven't entered it into any other festivals yet. It's actually my first festival ever. So it was pretty exciting when we won.
Tiffany, biggest challenge for you making Hello from Taiwan?
Biggest challenge was definitely the time constraints and also working with young children with very limited time because they also had, their hours on set that they could work. And our main character was, 7 years old, and she could only be on set for, 9 hours per day or something, maybe 8, actually, and then six working. And
I might follow up with you then.
And, yeah, so I think we just had to, evolve everything because she was in every single scene, so we kind of had to make everything sort of like a Tetris, game around her, how we could shoot around her or with her, But that was the biggest challenge for sure.
Some TV and film directors over the years have picked up a special reputation for how they work with children. For example, Robert Mulligan had a great rep for what he did on To Kill a Mockingbird, then the other in terms of handling children to give really great performances. What did you learn about working with kids in terms of, having them be comfortable to deliver a great performance, deliver what you want out of the script?
Yeah, I think it was kind of a balance of sort of treating them as an adult / me becoming more of a child, if that makes any sense. So just trying to become more playful, and get in their mindset and just kind of be friends with them instead of having some sort of hierarchy. I think that was the best way for me to work, to get them most comfortable and also to trust me, And I think, and then me also having more of a childlike mindset, when I was working with them helped me kind of get into their mode as well. And so I think that was the best, the best way to get their fun performances or them interacting with each other. And I think that really showed, actually, they loved each other on screen, and I think it played out in a way.
Talia, given that your project was a web series with Freedom from Sanctuary, what was the challenge for you not only to gather the material together, but then separate it into various episodes?
So the challenge was I knew that it's going to be episodes, so I wrote the script for the episodes, and instead of like making something which is like developing from each episode to each episode, like each episode has, it's like a short film, like a standalone short film, and in each episode you have the relationship between a volunteer in the farm and an animal in the farm. So basically, I think for me, for us, the biggest challenge was to work with the animals, because, you know, they are not people, and it's like a documentary. So they don't do what you want them to do, especially like not cows or goats or pigs. So and they are very curious, and all the time they want to eat the equipment, basically. So that was, I think, the biggest challenge in the production. And the episode, like, I scripted it in a way that it will be based on a character and an animal. So so that was not so much of a challenge, because I knew what I want. So, and
it worked the same kind of challenge that people who do natural history documentaries do, which is you can't direct Mother Nature. What Mother Nature and Father Nature does, they do when they want to do it. You can't tell you can't tell an animal what to do.
No,
just do it. So it sounds like that came into play too.
Yeah, and I think it came beautifully, because I had a very, very skillful and talented cameraman. So we filmed a lot of time, like observing, but also observing the people and the animals together. And the relationship between them are so magical and so breathtaking, in a way that, like, things just happened there. And, like, you feel the bond and the connection between the person and the animal. So, but of course, you know, they are animals, and when they want to go, they just go, and nothing will keep them in the frame if they don't want to be in the frame. And they feel, you know, when it's like too much for them, so they go. And like pigs can decide that they want to have to go into the mud and to splash in the mud, and it, like, you can't stop a 300 kilogram pig for doing anything that he wants.
Yeah.
So,
Giant Kitten, like, RC, when it came to River City, did you try to use a mix of professional and just plain small town folk for this, or was it all professional actors? And what for you was the biggest challenge?
So, this is RC. I have an animation studio in St. Louis, and so I have contractors and people working for me. So there was a mix of working with, you know, professionals, professional animators. There was a couple of us. And then when we were doing the voiceover work, it was, you know, a couple friends and that kind of thing.
Yeah, and to piggyback on that too, I would say the biggest challenge for me, this is Jal, would be just my lack of patience. So since writing this, I knew that we would probably have a better shot. We could make it low budget live action, but probably not going to, fan out too well. So we decided, you know, we should do this. We should try this and animate this. But with animation, me not being an animator, I didn't realize how long everything takes, and especially with a small team, which it was a small team, but it was all that we could afford. And, and I'm one of those people that, you know, I'm a visual person, so I might jot down some ideas, write down some writing. I want to see these characters soon. So it took a long time. The project actually took 3 years, and we could have gotten it done a lot faster, but RC had some other clients. This was just a passion project. We thought it was pretty good, but we didn't expect it to go where it's went so far. And at this point now, we're like, okay, we really need to keep going on this, and it's time that we really push for it. So that's where we're at now.
Yeah. And Kayla, when it came to Parks in America, what did you find the biggest challenge?
We had a bunch of issues. I mean, money is one of them, just because we were a student production. We also could only work on the weekends because everyone had class during the week, so we were just constantly, like, you know, taking equipment back and forth and driving everywhere instead of just going on set, you know, for one period of time. We were just, we shot over 9 days, and they were split over 4 weekends, I think. And I think additionally, we had a lot of equipment failure, so we had to think on our feet a lot, and we lost a lot of time on set because of cameras failing and having to get other cameras Ubered in from Manhattan to Long Island where we were filming. So it was just it was kind of a mess, but I think we learned a lot from it, and that's what school is about. And I think we really persevered and we pushed through all of our issues, and we still came out with everything shot, everything covered, and we're all really proud of what we were able to do despite our challenges. So, yeah.
Did any of the actors that you worked with or any of the people you worked with suggest things to bring into the script because they live certain things that maybe you missed in the script that they would like to see included in terms of their own experience?
Right. I mean, there was definitely a lot of conversations about those kinds of things. In rehearsals, I wasn't directing, but I was at every rehearsal, and I was able to answer questions about character that maybe our director didn't have the answers to. And so it was definitely an open conversation. There wasn't so much, like, scenes that they had wanted to put in the script. I think I was really lucky in that everyone really resonated with the project, and so there wasn't so much conflict there. But I think, you know, we were able to talk about our experiences, and maybe if they didn't have an experience exactly like what I had written, we could find ways to actually relate it to whatever they had experienced. And especially our main actress, Judy, who plays Jamie, she had a similar experience about changing her name when she moved to the United States I think she was only here for maybe a semester. She did like a semester abroad when she was in middle school. So she like had her own funny story about changing her name. And so we were able to kind of bring in, you know, everyone's personal experiences, even if it's not exactly verbatim in the script.
This would be the time that normally we would say goodbye to our first half hour guest. However, because this is a special roundtable, we're keeping our guests for the entire hour with us. So in our second half hour, we're going to ask all of our guests, what have they learned out of the Series Fest 2021 experience and why they think they won? And also, what is the future of their entries? And what network or service would they like to see their programming on if they had the choice to do so? And we'll also give our guests the opportunity to talk back to each other and suggest things to each other if we have the time. That's all coming up in our second half hour. So stay tuned. All of our guests are with us right here live the entire hour here on this Friday edition of Tomorrow Will Be Televised, the vote to the winners of the Series Fest 2021 Independent Pilot Competition. We'll get back to our roundtable in a moment. First, we have some words from the fine folks at Audible.com. You know, if you are an Outlander fan, you should really enjoy what I'm about to say, which is this. If you become a tester of audibletrial.com/televised, that's Audible Trial's one-month trial, guess what? You can get the first book of Outlander by Diana Gabaldon. If you haven't checked out Outlander, the TV series on Starz, you know it's a winning historical saga, a lot of romance, action, all sorts of things. Well, so is the opening book of the Outlander series. And you can get it right now through a free trial with Audible.com. You know, Audible.com is the leading provider of spoken digital audio entertainment, information, inspiration. Over 200,000 titles to choose from. Remember, you can listen to them on any device, including whatever you're hearing us on right now at Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, TuneIn Radio, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, iHeartRadio, Verbal, etc. Remember, if you sign up at audibletrial.com/televised, you get one free audiobook, one-month trial, great customer service from Audible's power on Amazon.com, and perhaps some health and wealth information along the way. Plus, if you're already an Amazon Prime member, you get two audiobooks for the price of one, and one of those could be from the growing catalog of Audible Originals. We're talking original audio series and podcast series as well. Best of Broadway or Broadway and regional theater, and great one woman and one man performances. So how about post 4th of July weekend being the time you discover for yourself how Audible.com can transform the way you hear the world? Makes a great gift any time of the year for you or someone you love. So check it out all at audibletrial.com/televised. More from our Series Fest 2021 Roundtable and our classic trivia question of the week, all coming up after we pause at the bottom of the hour for web identification. Connect the best internet radio on the planet, www.blogtalkradio.com, spreaker.com, tune.com. Together, reaching over 60 million listeners around the world every month and growing. Don't forget, BTR is your host for Post Time with the Greek, best in sports, action, and talk, tomorrow and Sunday, same time, noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific. That's Post Time with the Greek, tomorrow and Sunday at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific, exclusively on Blog Talk Radio. And remember, best of BTR 24/7 at YouTube.com. Welcome back to Marvy Televised, second half of our special hour with the winners of the Series Fest 2021 Independent Pilot Competition. Let's get right back to our roundtable. And Simone, we'll start with you, the Comedy with some Privilege. What have you learned, the big thing you've learned, out of showcasing your event at Series Fest, your pilot Series Fest?
Well, the response was incredible, considering we hadn't shown it to anybody yet, so it was really great to see people engaging with it and people liking it. But I mean, Series Fest as a whole was just such a wonderful experience, and getting to meet some of the other creatives, and despite the challenges of it being online, I think the organizers still did an amazing job of pulling us together, and there were some really fantastic panels and great networking events. So I learned a lot, everything from, you know, how to build a better LinkedIn profile to how to improve your pitching. So yeah, I felt like it was really a fantastic experience.
And for those who are just joining us at the bottom of the hour, that's Simone Lamartina. She is the winner for Privilege. That's the comedy winner this year at Series Fest 2021. And she joins us live from Sydney, Australia, where it's already Saturday. Let's go to Leah Finkel from Jerusalem, whose unscripted entry and winner was Freedom from Sanctuary. What's the biggest thing you've learned from being at Series Fest?
Well, I was very, very much surprised to win, because my the other opponents in my category were food shows, and it was like food like the people make dinners for their dates, or you know, they go to find foods in in different cities, and most of the food is like non-vegan, so it made me like super, super happy to win with animals which are not going to be food and that are going to be that are treated as animals should be treated. So I think like it's a big say, you know, to win with this, like when my opponents are food shows. So that was amazing and surprising, and I was not there personally because of the pandemic and that you can't really fly to anywhere. So I really enjoyed all the online platforms that I participated in the hours that I was awake. But it's like we are 10 hours after the time in Denver. So it was a bit tricky to participate in everything.
I want to welcome Jazz Girl 16 on our chat room. Jazz Girl, welcome to the program. If you have a question or comment, put it in the room or give us a call at 646-652-2906. Let's go to Tiffany Francis, the drama winner from Los Angeles for Hello from Taiwan. What's the biggest thing you've learned from being at Series Fest?
Yeah, I mean, the experience was so incredible. It was so nice to just receive feedback from other people, and also just, you know, learn more about actually the creators of Series Fest and their mission. And I thought that was so amazing, because I think that their involvement really makes a difference in how this festival was run and how, you know, our experience all was. But really I learned that I think there's, you know, a hunger for different perspectives on television, and I think that's the most important part that I learned, is that that people really care about different stories that are out there. You know, for me, I wrote about a Taiwanese American family, so I think in America in particular, there's definitely a hunger for Asian American stories and also minority stories. So I think I was really excited to have my belief in that kind of reinforced, and that, you know, that it showed that people do want that. So yeah, that was my big takeaway.
Our Late Night Pirate winner is River City, and joining us from Indianapolis, where they are attending a film festival, are its creators. That's John Michael and R.C. Nelson. What's the biggest thing you've gotten out of your Series Fest experience?
Yeah, wow. Series Fest was unbelievable. We've been to quite a few festivals now, and they've all been really, really good. But Series Fest sets the bar extremely high, extremely high, from all the panels. I think one of the other creators just mentioned it, from the pitch-a-thon, teaching you how to pitch, to teaching you how to make your LinkedIn account more attractive, you know, kind of showing you the path, how you can find representation, distribution, so many awesome, incredible tools. And even if we hadn't won anything, it was already just like a massive win just getting even an official selection. There were so many great projects, and we were totally shocked to even win. So lots of tools on the way. The experience itself is just incredible. We're planning on – we're going to keep making River City, but we're planning on making a side project just to try to get back to the physical event that they'll hopefully be having next year. So, yeah, pretty awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, and it was just
and
amazing.
And the Impact winner, there's a special award that was given by Level Forward, the production company that's really making a big move, first in the film, but now they're going to make a big move in television, is Kayla Yui Lewis, joining us from Mountain View, California, who came up with this idea when originally at a New York University student called Parked in America. What kind of feedback are you getting from the Series Fest folks?
Yeah, I mean, Series Fest has been amazing. I was first introduced to them when we premiered at South by Southwest in March. And so I was a part of the pitch-a-thon there that Series Fest put up. And so I got to meet a bunch of the programmers, and they all encouraged me to submit to Series Fest, which I had already was planning on doing, but just having their encouragement and, support along the way really – you know, it made me feel really welcome and like I was part of a family there. So when we eventually did get into Series Fest, we were so thrilled, and everyone, I mean, like, others have said, we've been to quite a few festivals by now, but Series Fest has been so interactive and really cares about its creators. And I think, you know, having a festival that is entirely focused on television content is super amazing, just because, you know, episodic categories at other festivals are kind of sidelined. So I think, you know, putting us in the center at this one festival is really amazing, and having, you know, they set up meetings for us with production companies, and we were able to, you know, talk about our projects and get feedback from professionals. And I think, you know, it's just really invaluable. So I'm so grateful to be here.
We're going to continue our roundtable with all of our Series Fest 24 winners in a moment. I want to let you know that you're listening to it live here on Tomorrow Be Televised. Someone with you live from New York will request your comment for any of all of our guests. Make the call, 646-652-2906, or use that chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Coming up Wednesday on Tomorrow Be Televised, one of the best columnists covering the world of both sports and TV will be joining us, Lloyd Carroll, our good friend from the Queens Chronicle. We'll talk to him about perhaps the Emmy Award nominees that are expected to be coming out that morning. We'll also talk to him about his thinking about how NBC will do with the Olympics, about the career of Mark Albert, and a very interesting Yes Network campaign that may be very controversial, maybe the most controversial advertising campaign involving Regional Sports Network. We'll get to all that on Wednesday's show. Also, we hope to have one of the NBC talents that will be doing an original show for Peacock, that's NBC's mega content service, that will be also doing its own special Olympics coverage. It's all coming up on Wednesday, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Be Televised. And next Friday, don't miss our first half hour. We have a very big treat for you. We're going to showcase a story which we think is going to break on Thursday that could be a very important turning point for interactive television. We'll talk with the person who runs the venture behind this breaking news development and somebody that they brought on as an advisor who is perhaps one of the top major programming executives around in television. That is all coming up exclusively a week from today in our first half hour on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. And we hope to break the news about who we have on for that segment on Wednesday's episode. I want to ask any one of you, I've heard that a lot of the juries that looked at these pilots, and there were something like 70, 80 plus pilots, all-time record for pilots in this competition, that they really had a tough time determining a winner, that any one of the people in that category you were in could have won it. What did you think about that, the fact that you came through some really tough competition, maybe the toughest ever in the history of Series Fest?
Yeah, I think that this is Jal. I think that it just it's unbelievable. I mean, like I was saying earlier, there was seven of us in the late night, and all of them, I thought all of them could have won. I mean, they were really that good. And so to be up against that kind of competition with that kind of talent and these innovative, creative minds, it's pretty special to win. Absolutely.
Anybody else, similar thought, different thought?
Yeah, I was just completely blown away by the standard and yeah, I thought, particularly for the comedy category, you know, there was some really, really great work in there and really funny things. So we were super, super shocked to have managed to scrape through.
Before we get into where your pilots go from here, I wanted to give you the opportunity, if any of you would like to ask each other questions about the Series Fest experience or anything else about how your pilots came to be, go for it.
Well, I guess I have – this is Kayla. I have a question for Tiffany, actually. So I was internet stalking you. Hope you don't mind. But
all good.
So I was just wondering, so it looks like – this project, was it originally a short film and you're using it as proof of concept? Like, how did it turn into, like, a series kind of thing?
Yeah. Totally great question. Yes, it is a short film that turned into a proof of concept because I made it with the AFI Directing Workshop for Women program, and it was for, you know, we had to make a short film through that program. But I always knew that I kind of wanted to pivot the story into television because when I was writing it and, like, developing it, you know, I was asking my mom a lot of questions about her and my dad. My dad had passed away a few years ago, which kind of got me, like, very interested in writing more Asian American stories, to be honest. Before that, I wasn't. And so, you know, then when I was thinking about ideas, I was, like, thinking a lot of different stories and how to kind of form that as a series. So it definitely, you know, I'm definitely using this as a proof of concept along with my, you know, pitch Bible and also a written pilot, actually, that I have for it. So, yeah, excited to present it. Amazing. Thank you for your question.
Yeah. I hope I get to see it in its fully formed series one day.
I hope so. Let's cross our fingers. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Anybody else have a question for each other? Make sure you identify yourself before you ask it to whoever. Don't be shy. Go ahead.
Well, I want to know where, you know, what network people think that their show is going to be on or will want to be on, like what fits their show. This is for everyone, I guess. And this is Tiffany.
All right. Let's take it around the horn. And I'll start, Kayla, with you. What is the status of your relationship with Level Forward? So, like, where is it going to go with Level Forward? And then get into the question of where would you like to see it on?
Yeah, I mean, I'm so, so grateful to Level Forward. I was not expecting this at all, especially, you know, we were a student project, and I wasn't even expecting to get into this festival in the first place. So getting, you know, to building this relationship with a production company as amazing as Level Forward, who's done some amazing work both on screen and on Broadway or just in the theater space in general, it's really a dream come true. So we're still in our very early stages since, you know, we just found out that we had won. So we're kind of figuring out what we want to do next and how we want to develop the show and, you know, kind of make it bigger, I think, just because we were so, like, I was, you know, thinking with budget in mind, writing with budget in mind when I was, and thinking about my limits as a student. But now that I have, you know, kind of the world as my oyster, I can, you know, plan storylines that take place in Korea or, you know, make, you know, write new characters and things like that. So we're trying to see which directions we want to go and go from there. But in terms of where we'd like to see the show, I mean, I was always – Hulu was always one that I thought might fit our show and the kind of work that they make. I feel like we're a little bit – I don't want to say niche because I do think that we can appeal to a really broad audience, but I think the audience that, you know, watches Hulu might, you know, the show might resonate more with them, I think, maybe. But who's to say? Any network that wants us, sure.
Jai and RC, what about you with River City? Where things stand in terms of making a series out of your pilot, and where would you like to see it go?
Yeah, so, great question. So we are open for business. We are kind of in the chase right now, like most people are. trying to find an agent. I actually had a missed call whenever I was on this call. I'm hoping that was an agent calling me. Probably not, but regardless, we're in the hunt. We actually got a meeting with an exec who met up with us at Series Fest. So through Series Fest, he liked what we have, so we're meeting with them next Friday. So we would love to find any home, anyone that wants to discover us and let us come into their home, being their platform, and take us in. That would be awesome. So we'll see. We're on the hunt.
Mm-hmm. So, Leah, as you mentioned, your project has already appeared on the Internet. But what about, for example, doing it on television, and not just at a network in the United States, but also, where you are, Israel is a hotbed of television series, some of which have been adapted beautifully here in America. Where do you see your unscripted program, Freedom from Sanctuary, going?
So it has been going to many film festivals so far, and It was broadcasted here in the Israeli TV also, so I would like to have it adapted to have the I can do it like in other farm sanctuaries which are all over the world, so it can be done in different places like the same format that I created. So this is something that I would really, really love to do, especially like in places where I can speak the language of the people. So it's like English and German, maybe Russian. And I think like if I will be able to get some money to make it wider and to make another season, so I already have like at least 6 people which I can make episodes about them. The farm is an amazing place and very inspiring. Different people volunteer and work there, so that would definitely be my dream to make it wider and to go with it to everywhere.
And Tiffany Francis, where does Hello from Taiwan go from here?
I would love it to get onto a streaming platform because I feel like, it's a half-hour drama, so I kind of feel like it needs a little bit of room for experimentation and kind of sort of a little bit less standardized. So I think streaming, if it lived on something like HBO Max, Amazon, or Hulu, I would be dead. Like, I would be so happy. Let's hope. I'm going to cross my fingers for that.
And Simone, we'll wrap this up with you with Privileged, not only in terms of trying to find a home in the United States where you have so many options that are ballooning all over the place, especially with smart TV sets and smart devices, but also you have a fast-growing TV industry already in Australia.
Yeah, so I think similarly I would probably want – I could envision it more on a streaming service than I could on a network in Australia, purely because it's – we just don't make a lot of comedy in Australia, so I think a streaming service is probably going to give us, the extra leeway we need to be able to get a project like this across the line. But having said that, yeah, we're also really looking to international options, and we've been, for the past sort of 6 months, we've been having preliminary conversations with production companies and networks here, and now since Series Fest we've just started to sort of move those conversations more internationally. But yeah, I mean, I, like kind of as the others said, I just want to make sure that we're pairing with someone who's as excited about it as we are. I'm not too fussed with the specifics of who that is, as long as it's someone that's passionate and wants to help us make something really good.
Stay with us, because after we complete this roundtable of our classic trivia question of the week, and if you're first with the correct answer to our question we introduced on our special two-hour Tuesday edition, you can win a Waterman Paris 10 and accompanying case. So stay tuned. It might be you if you're the first to come through. And if you haven't heard, we now have a brand-new Tomorrow Will Be Televised website. It's tomorrowwillbetelevised.podsite, podsite.io. That's tomorrowwillbetelevised.podsite. .io. When you go there, you'll see the most recent episode, top half of the screen, just click and you can hear it. Go to the bottom half of the screen for recent episodes and leave a comment if you like, and we will respond. That's all on our brand new Tomorrow Will Be Televised website, tomorrowwillbetelevised.podsite, P-O-D-S-I-T-E dot IO. Final question for any of you. We're seeing more and more TV series creators make program development deals with the likes of broadcast networks, with the likes of cable networks, with the likes of Netflix, Hulu, Amazon, Apple TV+, BET+, Viacom, CBS, Warner Brothers, et cetera, et cetera. In fact, we just had the story at the top of the show with our news notes that Nisha Green, the creator of Underground and then Lovecraft Country, has signed a deal with Apple TV+. Would any of you be interested in that kind of a deal if it would help get your work on the air?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, of course.
Yep.
Any one of you, elaborate why. Elaborate why would you do that?
So I feel like this is our seed with River City. You know, it's like you get into these meetings and they're like, oh, that's great, but what else do you have? And so I feel like just getting the foot in the door, just getting eyes and an audience to see this is kind of the first major step. And then we could build a catalog, you know, and that's kind of what my dream is, you know.
Mm-hmm. Anyone else? And while we have you, one more little side question. You know, we have this era now where people are now looking at funding their series or their programming services through blockchain, cryptocurrency, equity crowdfunding, and so forth. Are any of you thinking that that might be a way to financially get your program off the ground?
Yeah, it's definitely an alternative for River City. We're going to try our hand at trying to get it picked up first. But, yeah, we will definitely look at some of those other options in the crowdfunding if need be, if we come to that, 100%.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anyone else before we bring things to a close? All righty. So, again, we want to celebrate all of the winners you heard on today's program for comedy for Series Fest 2021 Independence Pilot Competition, Simone Di Martina for Privilege, in drama, Tiffany Francis for Hello from Taiwan, unscripted Talia Finkel from Freedom for Sanctuary, late night J. Michael and R.C. Nelson for River City, and the Level Forward Impact Award, Kale Yumi Lewis for Park in America. If you want more details about Series Fest 2021, which, by the way, continues virtually to the end of this weekend, all you got to do is go online to www.seriesfest.com. That's www.seriesfest.com. And if you want to catch some of our recent episodes, which includes exclusive interviews with Randy Kleiner, the co-founder and chief executive of Series Fest, and some of the other pilot creators who have been in the program the last couple of weeks, go to our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. Go to any of our podcast sites and our brand new website, tomorrowbetelevised.podsite.io. And congratulations, by the way, to all of the more than 75, 80 pilots that were presented at Series Fest. You are all winners in our book. And we will continue to keep you posted, by the way, as to if these pilots become series, we'll invite all these creators or others back on the show, and we'll let you know how they did. Simone, Tiffany, Talia, Jai, Kayla, RC, thank you all for joining us for a wonderful roundtable. Congratulations on your win. All the very best to you in your future TV careers. I have a hunch that you are going to be among the next generation of great TV series creators and producers. And it's been a great honor and pleasure to have you all aboard.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having us.
Appreciate it.
It's been a great pleasure all the way, everybody. Take care. Have a superb weekend.
You too.
All right,
you too.
Simon, thank you.
Bye.
You're welcome.
Bye.
Our Series Fest 2021 Independent Pilot Competition winners all joining us from various parts of the world right here exclusively on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Now time for our classic trivia question of the week. We first offered it on our Tuesday two-hour episode. And if you're first with the correct answer, you will win a Waterman Paris 10 and accompanying case. Here is the question. Dexter's Laboratory was the first Cartoon Network original half-hour toon series back in 1996. Name the second that came out in 1997. Dexter's Laboratory was the first Cartoon Network original half-hour toon series back in 1996. Name the second that came on in 1997. If you know the answer, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. It's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Remember to enclose your name and where you're emailing from. First with the correct answer, you win. If we don't get a winner by the end of today, we will pose the question first thing tomorrow morning on Facebook and on Twitter. Facebook at Simon Applebaum, Twitter at UBC Simon TWBT. Remember, in order to win, it's all about playing in and playing as soon as you can. So do so. Take a guess if you need to. You never know. And, of course, all the very best. One more time, I want to thank all of our great roundtable guests today, everybody at Series Fest in Denver for making their festival happen. It will continue to the end of the weekend. More details online, SeriesFest.com. And let's hope that next year, everything that be in Colorado will allow Series Fest to be on in person again, as well as virtual, too. So we wish Randy Kleiner and crew the very, very best. Monday on Tomorrow We Televise, first of three episodes this coming week. And on that episode, we'll have the founder and chief of his offer, the new video podcast plumbing service, Pod TV, Jeff White. And from Cold Justice, which moved a couple years ago from TNT to Oxygen, starting its sixth season tomorrow night, executive producers Ashley Grapo, Stella, and Scott Patch. And then on Wednesday, among other guests, the wonderful columnist from the Queen's Chronicle covering both sports and television, our very good friend Lloyd Tower. We also have to have one of the hosts of one of the new podcast series taking place for the Summer Olympic Games that start in the next week or so on the family of NBC Universal Networks and for the first time on mega content service Peacock. So stay tuned for that. And again, next Friday, very big first half hour, I promise you it will be a very special half hour. It deals with a breaking news story, which we expect to happen on Thursday, which could become the beginning of a new era for interactive television. More details as next week progresses. If you came in late on today's program, you want to catch up an episode of Unique, very simple. Go to our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televise. That's blogtalkradio.com/TELEVISED. Don't forget, we're available 24/7 all weekend long on our podcast. That's available on Apple Podcasts, iTunes, Apple TV, also on Spreaker Podcast, TuneIn.com, iRadio.com, Burble, and Amazon Music. And, of course, our new website, tomorrowbetelevise.podsite.io. And we'd love to hear from you. What do you think about our Series Fest 2021 roundtable? What's your thoughts on where TV is at and where it is going? We'd love to hear from you. So email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. simonapple04@yahoo.com. Don't forget to include your name and where you're emailing from. You can use that to be involved in our classic trivia contest every week. Also on our regular feature show to know. If it's a TV show you like, deserves attention, let us know. We highlight the program. You get the credit. But remember, in order to be involved, we want to hear from you. Also, you can find me on Facebook and LinkedIn, on Twitter, on social media. However you communicate with us, we do respond. Why? Because what you say matters now more than ever. The views expressed here are those of the participants, not only those of Blog Talk Radio and other distributors of this program. Andy Toth, Blog Talk Radio General Manager, with Jay Sonnenberg, Head of Content. Website services provided by PodSite, the new internet avenue for podcasts. For more details, go to podsite.io. Our web coordinator is Gintaris Fakris. Tomorrow We Televise is brought to you by Audible.com and Amazon Division. Remember, Audible will transform the way you hear the world. For a free audiobook or two, 1 month trial, and much more, it's audibletrial.com/televise. For Tomorrow We Televise, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for your listening. Have a fantastic weekend. We all deserve it. We'll be back on Monday for our first of our three episodes next week. You know when, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, and you know where. Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, TuneIn Radio, Amazon Music, Burble, the iRadio Podcast Network, and Apple Podcasts. Whatever you do between now and then, please be safe, please be great, and let's break this pandemic now and forever. Until the next time, stay well and stay tuned.